Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with us here today. God bless you. Hope you're having a great day today. And my day is already great because I'm here with Dr. Dave Stoop. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good, Steve. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing so well. I got to tell you, I speak a lot of places, and I have a good experience in a lot of places. Last week, I went to Columbus, Georgia. If you've never been to Columbus, Georgia, that is one special town. You know, it's the place where Aflac is located. It's also the location, I believe, of CarMax. But there's a privately held company called the W.C. Bradley Company. And I went there. This is a guy. The guy is 135-year-old family business, sixth generation. They wow. rarely survive, you know, past the second one. And this is a guy who Norman Vincent Peale came down to him and said, "Hey, what do you think if I put together, you know, psychology and theology and try to help people that way?" And W.C. Bradley said, "I think that'd be a great idea." And he founded what was called the Pastoral Institute. It was an EAP, an Employee Assistance Program, and they've helped over 161 companies. Hmm. But this guy, Dave, long before any of us were even around, he was seeing that psychology and theology could be combined to make a difference.
That was great foresight.
Yeah.
Made a world of difference right. in people's lives. That's
well,
for sure.
And he had a little bit of foresight because back in the 20s, he bought the Coca-Cola bottling company for $25 million. And when he was finished with it, when he stepped down from chairmanship, it had become that international brand that it was. But here's what I wanted to tell you. I spoke at a breakfast for them, and it was like being on holy ground because this is a company where when the guy was asked, "What is the key to your success?" He said, "Love."
Hmm.
I said, "No, really. What's your strategy?" He said, "Yeah, loving people." And
wow.
I just want to tell you, if you don't think anybody's doing it right out there, some people are doing it right, and it was wonderful. Their brands are like Zebco Rods and Reels, Badlands Sporting Goods, Charbroil, the grills.
Oh,
They do all of these things. And I couldn't help but say it, because when we were in Ireland, you know, there was the Guinness, the heritage of, that the Guinness had left
right.
with all of the stuff that he did for his employees. And now here, over here, I was exposed to that. And I'm saying all this to motivate you. If you run something, do the right thing. I believe if you'll do the right thing, the rest is going to take care of itself. Well, if you want to join us on the program, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Please do come and join us. We would love to have you. Dave Stoop and I will be here for an hour, and we want you to be here. And I just want to mention before we go any further that Women of Faith is a movie. Women of Faith, An Amazing Joyful Journey, a documentary has been created, and it's going to be in theaters on February the 18th. And the 20th in a local theater, over 1,000 theaters. You know, it's by Fathom Events. You've seen these things like, you know, when they produce the Metropolitan Opera or something like that. Well, they've done this documentary on the 20 years of Women of Faith, and Max Lucado's on there, Amy Grant's on it, Johnny Erickson, and it's just a great tribute to 20 years of God using something to reach 5 million women. Here's the headline. It came out of New Life. That's, a lot of people don't realize this little ministry in New Life. That's our ministry there. It came out of us. And so you might want to think about that. You can go to womenoffaith.com and find out about it. 1-800-229-3000. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an every man's battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Glad you're with us. Dr. Dave Stoop is here. If you haven't read his book, Forgiving the Unforgivable, it might help you do what the Bible tells you to do. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all of it, every bit. Do it right now. Well, here we go. Let's go talk to Karen, our first caller here. And if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. Hi, Karen. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. What's going on in your life?
Well, I have a nephew that has been on drugs and alcohol since he was 14 or 15. And
how old is he now?
38.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And he's lost his license. He's in treatment right now.
Uh-huh.
But nothing to help. I have a friend that, am I echoing on your
Yeah,
end?
You are. Do you have a regular phone you could be using there?
I do.
Okay.
Is this better?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you have a friend that what?
His wife just went through ECT, is that correct? The shock treatment?
Yeah, ECT.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He did very well with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering what you all think about that.
Well, what was his wife's problem?
She was severely depressed, had anxiety, and suicidal thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah, it can be effective for certain things, particularly for an intractable kind of depression that doesn't respond to any other treatment. There's a downside to it in that it scrambles your memory but for somebody with a drug problem, I don't think that would be appropriate.
Well, he has depression and
if he's got a drug problem, he's depressed. So
that's a result of the drug problem.
A quick statement on this: you know, I was in a hospital where they regularly used electroconvulsive therapy. They also used it was the last reservoir for a gas that produced the same effect, Indocline, and I watched many people go through that. It was only used when everything else had been tried and failed. The physician there had used it, and he says it saved his life. There is an amazing TED Talk that you can listen to, a professional surgeon who was administered electric shock therapy or electroconvulsive therapy, and the first round did nothing, and it looked like the second round was going to do nothing, and then his final treatment, something happened, and in the talk he talks about it saved his life. So here's the point. Sometimes that can be the only thing that snaps a person out of their depression. Now, it's you still have to go through some kind of help to get your life back together. In other words, it might get you back to a place where you could work on your problems. But the last thing that I would ever prescribe for a drug addict is ECT. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Until he gets his act together and recovers, you wouldn't know whether he needed it or not. And most likely he wouldn't. And you say, well, if he got that, then maybe he would recover. No, probably not.
Probably not.
Probably wouldn't help him in his recovery one bit. Because what do we have to do to recover? We have to get with other people. We have to humble ourselves before God. Surrender the problem. Open up and take responsibility. And you know what? He's been given that opportunity in treatment, and he hasn't taken it. Electric convulsive therapy isn't going to make him a willing human being.
Okay. He's
so it's just
again.
Yeah. So if I was you and I had any input to him, I would be saying to him, could it be that this would be the very last time you ever needed treatment because you did something you've never done before? You've asked God to truly enter into the process, not to fix you, but to lead you to have the courage to submit to him and what he wants you to do every day. And here's what God wants him to do. Follow directions. That's it. Mm. Do what the people in treatment tell you to do.
And own
it. Quit trying to outsmart them, outthink them. Quit trying to make excuses. Own your need to get better. Listen to what they say and do it. Here's how they say it in AA. Sit down and shut up. that's what you need to do. And listen to some people who have been there, who have established a life of sobriety. That's what he needs to do. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, and I would send it to him immediately, or give it to him, get it to him. Okay?
You know, I saw Randy Moraitis the other night,
you know,
from his treatment, his Lifelines program. They had about 450 people out. He said they gave an invitation at the end of the meeting for those who were willing to make Jesus their higher power.
Mm.
And 75 of the people came forward and made that commitment.
Isn't that
And that sounds like that's what Jane's nephew needs, is to
exactly.
make that kind of commitment.
And Dave, as you and I know, and as we've taught, in the beginning, Dr. Bob, one of the founders, he'd take those guys who'd been drinking, he'd take them up in the upper room. First thing he'd do is get them on their knees and say, okay, let's surrender.
They called it the surrender room.
Yeah, that's right. So you see, what really works is Jesus as a higher power. And you might be a Christian thinking, why call it a higher power? I'd say, hey, you might, as a Christian, think about maybe you ought to make Jesus your higher power. Just being saved by Jesus doesn't mean that he's your higher power in every area of your life here on earth. And that's a great challenge for all of us. But I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible, and I'll send you the 12 Laws of Life Recovery also, and I hope that that is something you can get to him, that it will bless his life. No quick fixes, no instant solutions. It is a process, and it's one that changes absolutely everything. Anybody else interested in starting a life recovery group, a Christian recovery group, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll put you in touch with Paul Scott. He heads that up, and he will help you with it. By the way, last weekend, Every Man's Battle was in Dallas, and the next one is next workshop is in Seattle, February the 19th. You want to be sure and write that down. But first, I want to play you a clip for Lose It for Life. Here's Jamie. She doesn't need to go to Lose It for Life January the 22nd in Dallas, because when she went, and since she went, she's lost 275 pounds. Listen to this.
Well, I'm really grateful, Jamie, to have you on the program, because you are an alumnus of Lose It for Life, right?
Yes, I am.
When did you go?
November of 2012.
And since then, you have, you want to just say how much you lost?
I, right now, am at 275 pounds.
You've lost 275 pounds?
Yes, I have.
Wow. What happened at the weekend? Why do you think it did so much for you to get that jump start going?
Well, I went into it with the idea that I had a situation that had happened to me, without going into great detail, when I was younger. And I had decided on the way to Virginia that that was not the problem, and I was not going to even discuss that, because that had nothing to do with why I turned to food. I just like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And through the weekend, I came to terms with the situation that had happened to me and realized that I was trying to self-medicate with food.
Mm-hmm.
Through that realization, healing began.
Mm. So you had tried to lose weight before, but never connected the fact that you might have been feeding a deep, dark secret or a wound that was hidden down there.
I was feeding a wound. And multiple times I had tried different weight loss programs. You name it, I probably have tried it. And what it was is I needed to heal that wound within before I could start working on the outside.
Right. What do you say to somebody who's thinking about it, but they just don't know?
If I had to give any advice to anyone that was even considering going to a New Life weekend, I would say, run, don't walk. And your life will never be the same.
Well, I think that you're a great inspiration to a lot of people. Is 275 the goal weight? What is your goal?
No, I have a ways to go. I would like to be down at least another 100.
Oh, my goodness. At your heaviest point, how much did you weigh?
I was up over 500.
Unbelievable. Wow. I am so glad I got to talk to you. You are an encouragement and a blessing, and I just pray God's blessing upon you, and thank you for sharing what you did, sharing that it really does matter what's down there on the inside.
Absolutely.
Well, it really could be the beginning of everything changing if you haven't thought about it. Sign up right now. It's the 22nd of January.
And she's not the exception. There's not. Many others who have the same huge testimony.
Just amazing. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to join us here, it's 1-800-229-3000. And right now, let's talk to Julie. Julie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing all right. What's going on in your life?
I have a dilemma in my life right now, and my phone is echoing, but I have no other phone to get to.
Okay.
The only way to describe it is my pastor's an angry pastor, and I just don't want to get bitter. I've been there before. I've been there getting, having bitterness in my life through things that he said and done, and I don't want to go back there. I feel I've grown spiritually. I love my church. How do I serve my Lord faithfully and not get bitter?
Well, is he angry from in his preaching, or is he angry in his private dealings with other folks?
His private dealings with other folks. I mean, he's a wonderful pastor. He preaches God's word.
He's a wonderful preacher, you mean?
Huh?
He's a wonderful preacher, you mean?
Yes, he is.
He kind of slips up on the pastoring, the shepherding role.
And what seems to be consistent about his anger? What's he angry about?
People away. We've had family upon family have discrepancy, problems with him and leave the church. And rather than go fight for them or seek restitution or reconciliation,
mm-hmm.
It's they're gone, it's their problem.
Okay. Well, there's a reason he's angry. It's a symptom of something that's going on inside of him. You have to ask ourselves, when there's an inconsistency, okay, what is it? Is there some secret source of shame? You know, every sex addict that we deal with, we say, you've got to go deal with your anger. They'll say, I don't know what to deal with. You know, hey, start with anger. We've never met someone that had a sexual problem that didn't have an anger problem because they feel so entitled and they're not getting what they are deserving in their mind, and so they're angry. Maybe he is so insecure and so wounded that anybody that doesn't just worship him, he feels threatened by them. He'd rather them get out of his life. Those are just a couple of things. We'll hear from Dave about what he thinks might be the source and what might be a first step for you, first of all, to not develop a problem because of him, but secondly, maybe you could help him in some way. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop. We've been partners in writing and all sorts of things over the years. And I tell you, if you want something that could help you in your marriage, you know, their Just Us book is great. And then also, You Are What You Think, Rethinking What You Think. These kind of books can really help you in your personal life. I also want to mention to you that Women in the Battle is March the 4th in Orange County. If you're part of a couple and he has a sexual integrity problem, you can get help March the 4th. It will change everything in the dynamics of that relationship, and you'll be on the road to heal no matter what the other person does. But we have so often seen people begin the healing process because the wife went and got help at Women in the Battle. I hope that this is going to be helpful to you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Okay, Dave, why don't you pick our next caller, and we'll talk.
I got to talk to Julie.
Oh,
first.
That's right. Yeah, let's go back, and let's finish up with Julie about, you know, what do you think might be one of the reasons that this pastor's so angry, and what do you think she can do to help him and then also not fall prey to it herself?
Well, I'm curious, Julie, if there's a board, a church board that's aware of the issue that you're aware of. Is that a, are there any of the board,
well,
the leadership?
There is a board, and steps were tried to be taken, but everything gets like hush-hush. There's no problem. Mm-hmm. There, even when there's one or two in the board that feel there is, you know, it's always, they deal with it, and the rest of us that belong to the church don't get to say anything, you know, don't get to say, you know, where we have an issue or where we feel there's a problem.
Well, there's probably a woundedness in the pastor that leads him to express anger indirectly and then directly at the wrong time. If the board and leadership isn't going to do anything, then you got to go up higher. And one of the ways you protect yourself from bitterness is to really pray for this pastor. And any time you begin to feel a sense of frustration, you begin to pray for him that God will bring him to a place where he can experience healing for his woundedness. The wound could be a number of things, but a lot of times people go into helping ministries like counseling or pastoring as a way to deal with some internal issues, and then it doesn't work, and so it leaks out with other people, unfortunately. So it's not uncommon. But it's also not uncommon for the leadership to just kind of look the other way because they like the preaching and that they're willing to take the rest as part of the package instead of saying,
what's going on.
Yeah. No, it's just a horrible mistake. Dave and I have dealt with a few churches where the elder board or the deacons would not do anything about the pastor until the pastor literally crashed and burned and hurt a lot of people.
Yeah, and we were brought in to help them, and they tried to do the helping thing, but then all they did was delay the crash and burn, unfortunately. So, but I think you're praying for him is probably the best thing you can do to protect yourself from the bitterness. And anytime you feel a little bit of bitterness inside or frustration, know that he's a wounded man, and you pray that God will help him heal and that God will bring about the right circumstances for him to experience healing.
So really, in your own life, I'll send you Dave's book, Forgiving the Unforgivable, help you in the forgiving process. But in your own life, I think there is something awfully wonderful about finding the leader in the church. And are you married?
No.
Are you married? You are?
No, I'm not.
No.
I am not.
Okay. All right. So maybe you and a friend go together to one of the people on the board and you share your feelings with that person, or you write them a letter and take the letter. So it's two of you, not just you on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And you share with them how you're feeling, what you see happening, and you ask that person to do something about it, to deal with it as a leader in the church.
And you're not asking that he be fired. You're asking that they help him get
right.
help.
Yeah. And so
right.
what happened? Yeah, and that's what you say. That's what you say. You're doing this for his good and for the good of the church, not because you're angry, he's hurt you, or you have a grudge or something like that. And so, you know, there's a good chance, as God works with things, that you're not the only one that will have talked to that person in the past 3 months or so. And so maybe it'll be, you know, the thing that kind of trips the wire, and he decides, or she decides, okay, let's take some action. Let's do something. You know, it's as simple as this. It's as simple as the elders getting together and saying, we just think he needs to go get a little counseling. It's just that simple. Bob, or whatever his name is, Bob, we just think that given that some of the people have kind of been offended by the insensitivity, might really help you at this stage in your life to get a little counseling. That's it. Now, a pastor that it refuses to get any kind of counseling, that's a problem. See, and so if they can convince him, they're working for him, not against him. They really want to help him. They want to help him build that church. Well, it can be a great thing. So I'll send you Dave's book, Forgiving the Unforgivable. I'll also send you John and Henry's book, and you might want to get one for everybody on the board there, having that difficult conversation. And that's a gift to anybody who gives a gift to this ministry of any kind. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, go to newlife.com. Gift of any amount will send you that Dr. Cloud and Dr. Townsend's book, Having That Difficult Conversation.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed that if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number. And I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Dave Stoop. And Dave, let's go to another caller. I think you have to mute me there in the studio. Let's find another caller and talk to somebody that needs some help.
Well, let's talk to Wendy, calling from Shreveport, Louisiana. Now we got a new system, so I got to figure out which line she's on. Are you
all
there,
right,
Wendy?
Hi, yeah. Wendy.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I just have a question, I guess.
Okay.
My sister and I are on non-speaking terms, have been for quite a long time. She's done some really, really mean things to me. Our father died. She took him and, took him to her home without my knowledge and wouldn't allow me to speak for the last 2 weeks of his life. I couldn't see him. I couldn't talk to him. Nothing. And,
why'd she do that?
I don't know. I have no idea, because I just can't think of why she could hate me so much. I don't know what I did to her. And one of my dad's wishes was for us to be sisters again. So I have repeatedly tried periodically, sending her emails. I even went to her house one time thinking if she'd seen me, it might bring something back. And nothing. She won't answer the door. She won't return any emails. Here not too long ago, my best friend passed in August. And I did try to contact her in August, and, it was like, look, what if this could be us, let's try to mend things and everything. Well, I didn't get anything from her, no response, but 2 weeks later I got a call from a guy saying he was a detective and telling me that I was stalking her or something, and I'm like, what? I haven't been by her house or nothing. I did periodically send her letters, you know, and see if we can become sisters again. And then come to find out, because I called around, and that was a fake call. There was no detective had even called me at all. And that just hurt me in itself that
okay.
she would just do
well,
that.
Let's look at this. She has gone to a lot of trouble for you to get the message that she doesn't want to talk to you, right? I mean, a fake call about a private detective?
You there?
Yeah, a fake call okay. about a private detective. You know, all of these things that she's done with your father, she doesn't want anything to do with you, and she's going to a lot of trouble. Now, why don't we just assume something about her, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just assume that she flipped out, she's very troubled, emotionally unstable, maybe you could say just mentally ill. You just realize something horrific has happened to her, and it has nothing to do with you. And
yes,
so, then you just have to move toward grieving the loss of the relationship you had or could have and accept it and let it go. And then when you're no longer pushing to have the relationship with her, she might notice that and she might be more willing to come back your way than if you're always trying to jump in there even
yeah.
in the midst of her
cruelty. Before any of this, we were like best friends. And then it just
yeah, I know that. I know that. But see, that doesn't matter anymore, okay? So you don't need to tell anybody how great it was anymore, okay? Something happened. It's not great anymore. And the best way to move toward acceptance is to go through a grieving process. Okay, and then, again, you stop trying to connect with her at all costs, and it just might draw her back to you a little bit more. But if I were you, I would just assume that something really serious has happened in her life, and she's not going to be
And it probably had nothing
back.
To do with you.
Right.
Because I can't think of anything that I did so bad. I mean,
no, it could yeah. just, it could all be related to the death of your father, to where that she couldn't handle it, and she blames you for something that you're not even aware of, and you're not going to find it out. So you've got to take seriously what Steve is telling you. There's a principle that Jesus pronounced about our life. He said, if you want to save your life, you got to be willing to lose it. And that's a profound principle. So if you want to have any kind of relationship with your sister, you got to be willing to lose it and give up on it. Because all you're doing is adding to the problem by trying to be nice and trying to work out and trying to understand. And it's probably not even something she can explain. It's something that doesn't make any sense if she was to try to explain it. And it had nothing to do with you, but you got blamed for it, is what I would say.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the greatest, most transferable, memorable pieces of wisdom that has been handed down through the ages that has stood the test of time is you cannot get blood out of a turnip. Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you cannot get loving, compassionate, connecting friendship or sisterhood from someone who turned into an emotional turnip. Okay?
So washing my hands of it is, I mean, that is okay. I mean,
oh, it's the only thing
well,
you can do.
Well, if
but
you
don't do it in anger.
Yeah, if you don't wash your hands of it, then your hands are just messy.
And they get
and your
messier.
Life is messy.
And they get messier.
And it doesn't help anybody in your current life. So the way we get beyond things is we grieve the loss, we come to an acceptance, we come to embrace the reality of our lives, and then we can move into the future. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. I think it's all outlined right there. I think you'll like it. A lot. So you You hold on, and I'm going to give you a subscription to tv.newlife.com because there's some great, great stuff there on accepting the realities of our lives and then moving on. So hold on, we'll get that to you. Speaking of New Life Television, let's talk about tv.newlife.com for a minute. There's some amazing content there. I put in, I think, how many did I do today? I did 8 new segments this morning, and there's a lot of stuff on getting people unstuck. One of the best is by Dr. Sherry Keffer. We did a segment on the narcissistic victim syndrome. Listen to this clip.
The first thing we have to do is to surrender all of the defenses that we've used to prevent ourselves from saying, this is what I meant. It's not going to get better. I'm not going to change him. This is what I've got.
I can't change him.
Can't change him.
Yep.
I have to surrender to the reality
yep.
of my life. That's very difficult.
It's huge. That's like 90% of the people that I work with. 90% of it feels like them letting go mm-hmm. of this idea that you can be the one that's going to save him.
Yeah.
You can't save him, but you can save yourself. And this is one of the many, many clips, one of the many, many programs, and boy, none richer than this whole series on the narcissistic victim syndrome. You can find it at tv.newlife.com, and you can subscribe. You get a couple of weeks free. It's never been more reasonably priced. It's just the bargain of the decade. All right, Dave, let's go to our next caller, and who do we have up?
Well, let's see. We've got a pastor calling from Virginia named Michael.
Hey, oh dear.
Michael just gave up on us.
Michael gave up. Well?
Well, let's see. Now I got to think again.
okay.
Well, you were talking about narcissists. So Mike says he's a narcissist. Let's talk to Mike, and that's on 9. There we go.
Hi, Mike.
Mike,
hi, Mike.
You there?
Good afternoon. It will depend where you are.
Okay. Oh, you're on 8.
All right.
So
well, how
I'll
you
go,
doing?
I guess I'll go right into my my question. Most of the time that I listen to the program, I'm listening to those who are trying, just like you had just recently shown or just had on your clip, of people who are dealing with narcissist behaviors. What happens if you're dealing with someone who is and knows that they're narcissistic and they want to receive help? We have your almost all your books. We do the New Life TV. But I in the Denver metro area, when I've gone online to try to find support groups for those who are narcissistic, it's always looking at it from a point of view that the person who wants the support is the one who's living with it. Well, I'm
yeah.
the person that's causing the problem.
Mm. All right. Hold on.
It just became part of my being for so long that so much of the enjoyment in my life was centered on food, and I had to get away from that. I figured about the first day or so that there would be something there that would really help with the situation. I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was when I was out there in May, and couldn't be asking for better. I'm getting ready to order my third round of clothes. And I have been this low before or lower, and everything that I lost came back and brought friends with them.
You can lose weight and keep it off for life, but it involves more than just the latest fad diet or exercise machine. If the underlying emotional, spiritual, and physiological issues aren't addressed, the weight returns. The next Lose It for Life workshop is January 22nd through the 24th in Dallas, Texas. To find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I see a different person now than I used to see.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. We're talking with Mike. Mike, you still there, buddy?
Yes, I am. Thanks.
You know, a lot of times there aren't groups for narcissists because narcissists don't want to go to a group. First of all, they don't even realize they have it. And we were curious as to, you know, what is it within you, first of all, that makes you think you are one?
I did a test in which not only intimacy anorexia was shown, antisocial was shown, but it also came up that I had issues with or traits of narcissistic behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I now that I'm starting to see more and more about who I am and what I've done, especially to my family, I don't want to be that person, and I know that this has been an issue, and I can see it as I look back at my life. Mm-hmm. I want to make some positive steps to eradicate this.
A lot of times people that are sexually anorexic have had a problem with sexual addiction or sexual integrity. Now, is that true in your case?
It was, but I've been sober from that for many years. But it's the intimacy anorexia that I have the problem with of connecting with other people.
Okay. Have you thought about this intimacy intensive that we do?
I yes, I have thought about it, but as I look at it, I go, wow, I don't think I'm there far enough along. In fact, I've had discussions with my wife about it. But it's probably something that down the road I would like to do, but I feel so unconnected in that area that I'm afraid it would not serve us both well.
Well, just to let you know, one of the reasons that I wanted to put this together was for our guys who are recovering from through every man's battle, and they're in sustained victory, and they've stopped all acting out and acting in. But what they haven't done is they haven't, just like in your case, figured out, okay, how do I do this thing the right way? How do I develop intimacy? I mean, it's not just talking about physical intimacy. This is intimacy at every level. And I just, you know, I hate to make my answer a workshop, and I won't limit it to that, but it's just so specific for guys like you that I think it could really help you. And, you know, you may not be able to implement some of this stuff for a while, but I do think it could really give you some great insight into what you're doing. The other thing that Dave and I talked about at the break was maybe for you just getting into a men's group, that, you know, is either a relational Bible study where it's, you know, highly open and guys are sharing, you know, or you find a men's support group of some sort. But
well,
just hearing you talk, go ahead.
I was going to say, I attend, for about 2.5 years, I've been attending an intimacy anorexic group in Colorado Springs, as well as there's another group up here that I attend in the Denver metro area. So I am doing those things. I've read numbers of books on things like that. It's just... I'm just trying to make it.
Hey, Mike. Okay. Mike, I think you're ready for the intimacy workshop.
Well,
you've
I was thinking
a
that
lot of
too.
Stuff.
If you've done that for that long, that could be the thing that could really take you to the next level.
Kind of pull it all together for you.
Hmm.
And I think you're saying I'm not ready for it because you're emotionally afraid of the next step because you've done a lot to get ready for the next step. But I think that's the next logical step. And your wife can be a support. If you're in men's support groups, you're doing the right things.
And, you sure are.
And your wife can be a part of the next step.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, it's kind of like swimming. You've had some instructional video. You've actually talked to a lot of people that swim. And, you know, going to that workshop would be getting in the water. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's time to get in the water. Not necessarily to swim, but to see more of what the water feels like. So I want to encourage that for you. But, you know, the other thing is just hearing you talk about what you've been through and then your wife and her reaction and things. What are you guys doing together, both of you, on an ongoing basis to help you?
I have tried to invite her to go to therapy with me because I do meet with a counselor. But at this stage, she still wants me to work on me, and so I'm trying to honor that and make changes enough that she has enough trust to feel safe enough that we can do something like your intimacy workshop in the future.
Well, let me add something to this, Michael. Usually when couples marry, they're about the same level emotionally. Even though one talks about it more, they're both just as afraid of intimacy as the other one is. And I would guess your wife is kind of afraid of it. It wants it to be better, thinks that if you change, it'll make it better. But as you change, you probably meet sort of a resistance that's not really stated or acknowledged that is invested in everything staying kind of the same. Not verbally.
Actually, she is not that way at all. She is very intimate with everyone except for me. Not that she is, and it's me. It's not her.
It's always us. It's always us.
Yeah. You can't separate out everybody else from you. I believe Dave's on to something here, is that it is not easy for her to take the risk and do the things that she's going to need to do for you guys to experience intimacy. But I want to get back to my question. Are you sitting down with her every day and going over your day? Are you asking her any questions about her day? Things like that.
Yeah.
The friendship part.
Yes, we check in, plus we do affirmation check-ins and feeling exercises. So, yeah, and we pray together.
Good.
Okay, well, see, all of that is just so safe, and I want to encourage you to try to do some things together that might not be so safe.
And I would also say drop the narcissistic label.
I would too.
Because you're not a personality disorder. You maybe have a lot of narcissism, but it's not crippling you, or else you wouldn't be concerned about it. And that's a real plus. But I just want to underscore what Steve just said. You've got to do some things together. And not that she's the problem, but in every relationship, both are part of the problem in terms of staying the same.
Yeah, the only problem. I appreciate everything you guys are saying. I just know that even when we've been in situations where we were going to share and do things that were intimate, I seem to have the ability to sabotage almost everything that has a possibility of being good or close or intimate.
Mm-hmm. Part of her peace is not letting you, her knowing and expecting what you might do, and her not reacting but responding healthily. Hey, if you need some help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Dave.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.